Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Join us today. Hello to the Christian Television Network audience out there. Join us is Pat Hamilton.
Hello there.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
We talked about racial profiling and got a chance to look back where myself and, you know, Minister Willie Williams, in the time of United Prayer, you can actually see that video. I think the video is available now on the VFN Torch, where we're standing repenting. Me as a former law enforcement officer, him as an African-American minister. You know, we're able to come before God and repent for racial profiling done by law enforcement for years in America. And speaking of that, it makes me think about, I was going to a restaurant in Alabama. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you were with me, John, or somebody was. I don't know if maybe Donna was with me. And in this restaurant, a chain restaurant, but of course, a chain restaurant does not carry necessarily the same spirit.
It can be
the local people who work there and manage it or own that franchise. You know, their spirit can be over that.
Exactly.
You know? And so I was walking, just, you know, they're sitting me somewhere or something, and I passed by this application box that you put your application for employment in. And over the application box, like imagine a wood box on the wall, and a little slot in the top of it. And I guess you fill out your application and you put it in there. But right on top of this box was this old black and white picture of some old police cruiser with several white police officers in that older, you know, not as professional looking today as they were, where their buttons are down on their shirt, some holding shotguns and sticks. I mean, it felt like, I felt like, you know, that I was, you know, in Selma, Alabama. I mean, God just instantly took me there.
Wow.
And that day, and I'm thinking, this is a racist spirit over this restaurant. Yeah. They're trying to bow up at people of color to come in here and work at this restaurant. I was shocked.
Wow.
I couldn't even rest. I'm like, we got to deal with this. This is wrong.
I remember you called me up when you told me about that. But what city was that in?
That was Mobile, Alabama.
Was it really Mobile?
I think it was Mobile. No, it was.
I thought it was an L. I'm trying to think of this.
It was in Lower Alabama, one of those areas there. But it was a chain. It was a chain, literally a chain. It was a chain restaurant, and they were unapologetic. They were unapologetic about it, and I thought, oh, how offensive is that? You know, you send your son or your daughter to go put in an application for a restaurant, you're thinking, you know, that here, you know, they're just going to apply for a job.
Right.
And they get confronted with that spirit when they put them, like,
that's terrible.
That's horrific. That parent would have never known that they would have experienced that kind of, you know, in your face rejection, you know, and it just, you just feel like it, you just, what you, this is the spirit that was there on, in that one moment on that job application area was get out of our city.
Let me tell you what happened to me in that city. I got pulled over in that city.
Oh, really?
Over that same spirit.
Oh, wow.
When I was pulled over, I went to pick up Diesel. That's when I first got my dog. We were coming back, the whole family in the car. Pulled me over. They didn't give me a reason why he pulled me over. And you could just feel that spirit. He says, you're from around here? And I give him my license. I'm like, no, I'm not. And he just let me go. It was the weirdest thing. I'm thinking, you got to get out of here. You know, but no reason, no anything.
Yeah. It was Spanish Fort, Alabama, actually. But we have to say something. You know, when something's not right like that, you just got to say something and realize that a parent is going to send their child to get a job, and they're not, and you have to be the person that says, you know, you don't want some kid to be crushed coming in here, and this younger generation don't have all that baggage that comes from past generations, but they would have been confronted by the sins of the fathers right there at that box, and felt at that one moment taken on a spirit of rejection. I mean, I felt it in my spirit. I felt it
when I was pulled over.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
But imagine having, you know, when you look at the videos of the dogs and all that stuff that happened where they're coming against our brothers and sisters, you know, in the 60s, and the fire hoses and all that. And look how the officer was dressed at that time. And these are what, this is exactly what they look like, leaning against the car with shotguns and stuff, looking like they were on edge. I just knew what spirit it was of. Does that make sense? I just knew. I knew what it was. And I thought, what if I sent my son or my daughter here to get a job, and they're a person of color, and they came there and they see that, immediately they're going to experience something they never would have experienced. That I was like, this is a chain. It's like, oh my goodness. So I let him, I told him, I said, that, you know, that is, but the tenacity was that they had no problem with it. They wanted it to scare people off.
Wow.
You know, but I believe that they were blinded to what they were really doing in the context of that. They're thinking that meant, you know, I assume that it meant don't work here if you're not going to be legal, you know, in regards to if you're going to steal from the company or something like that. And these were, you know, but how it's going to be perceived by other people was totally different. I mean, they don't want people's, you know, it wasn't a racial type thing to them.
Sure.
Because it was, you know, four white guys, you know, leaning on a, but it's four white police officers leaning on the old cruiser with shotguns, a half button shirt. I've just felt like I was fixing to be squirted with a water hose. You know, I'm like, get out of this place. I mean, poor Don, I'm like, I was like nonstop. I was like, just offended.
Yeah.
I was offended, but we have to get that way and understand that we have to stand together. You know, it's e pluribus unum, though we're many, we're one. You know, speaking of that, you know, if you missed yesterday talking about redigging the wells of our Father, redigging the wells, it's going to be September the 15th in Birmingham, Alabama. You also can find about that on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. And, you know, back 49 years ago, this September the 15th was when, right after Dr. King, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. spoke at the Washington Mall, you know, the I Have a Dream, you know, speech. Mm-hmm. Right after that, in Birmingham is when the Ku Klux Klan, it says KKK in the article on the VFN Torch, and a lot of young people might not even know what that is, but you can click on, there's a link on that, and you can click on it, and it'll explain to you what the KKK was.
Oh, good.
And, but, you know, we had, you know, Paul Davison kind of sharing with us what's going on, inviting us to be a part of that. And 49 years to the day that the bombing that took place right there at the Baptist Church in Birmingham, it was the 16th Street Baptist Church, and on September the 15th, 49 years ago in 1963, this September the 5th, and so we're gonna be there by God's grace. You know, it's always James 4:15. Right. You know, if it's in God's will, we're gonna be there and stand with, you know, Paul and all the other ones that are there to just pray and ask God to, because that spirit's still there.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? You know what
that's
I'm saying?
Right. I know what I'm saying.
Yeah, right. I know what you're saying. Yeah, you're right. Don't touch the car. Don't touch the car.
I remember that.
Yeah, right. What are you doing in here?
I'm an usher. Get your hands off the car.
Yeah. I mean, we have our brothers and sisters in the Lord who calling the police on their brother and sister in the Lord because they're people of color who sit by them. If you miss this, you've got to go back to the highlights or, you know, go into on the VFN Torch and hear about a brother of ours, you know, Derek, where he was in his parking lot, you know, praying in his church, you know, church parking lot. Mm-hmm. And he had sat by this lady for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
For 5 years, he said, we sang the same songs. you got to hear him talk about this. But he said, you know, we worship the same God, you know, that we fell under the same power of the same God. It was so funny.
Right, on the same carpet.
The same carpet and all. And, but yeah, he was in the parking lot one night. He was in the parking lot one night and praying. And he's, you know, pacing back and forth and praying. And this lady that he sat beside for 5 years. I mean, you got to understand, you know, Derek is, you know, 6'5", 300 something, but you don't miss Derek.
Yeah.
And he's just a bundle of, you know, love. You know, he's just very compassionate.
Big old smile.
Big old smile on his face and tender and all. But, you know, that she called the police on him and said, there's some black male in our parking lot, you know, looking in the cars of our windows. This is terrible.
Right.
This is terrible. I mean, you got to hear this. It's called Racism in the Traditional Church Still. You know, it's a question mark. Mm. And it's racism in the church. So we have to deal with the spirit.
Yeah.
You know, we have to deal with it. And so they called the police to, she called the police. This lady sat by him for 5 years. Oh, she's white and he's black. You got to go back and listen to this. You got to listen to it because, you know, there's so many wounded sons and daughters that needed, first of all, they needed everything that a son and daughter needs, which is a lot. But now they have the additional wounding that kept them away from the very thing to begin the process of getting what they need as a son or a daughter in the Lord. And, but, you know, Derek does a real good job. He's very gracious in how he shares it. And so September the 15th, you know, we're going to go to Birmingham, or I'm going to go to Birmingham. Would you go with me?
Yeah, I'll go. Okay. That'd be cool.
Yeah, and we'll go there and just believe, got to believe that, you know, we may have some crews coming in from Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just to be a part of that. Because we get to march, we're going to march or walk or whatever, a procession, all the way from the 16th Avenue Baptist Church. All the way to Legion Field.
Wow.
That's just to be a part of that.
That's cool.
You know, you're going to have, you know, the Native Americans are going to be there. Of course, African Americans are going to be there. You know, Americans are going to be, all of us are going to be there. And just to be a part of what's going
That's
on.
That's great.
You know, and to crying out for uncorking the wells of justice. So you can find that. It's on the VFN Torch. It's called Redigging the Wells. You can find it at rediggingthewells.org, or you can go to the highlights on your mobile device and see it as well. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
You know, there's nothing more frustrating sometimes when you miss something that you wanted to be able to see, and something you couldn't record it, maybe you couldn't get to it. But you know what? Every weekend we're doing things around the yard, or we're doing things, some hobbies, or we're going out visiting people, or whatever it is. We're driving in our cars to different places. Did you know you can catch the entire week's program every weekend for 24 hours, starting at 9 a.m. Central Time, all the way to 9 a.m. Central Time Monday morning? It's called Marathon Weekend. It's that week's program playing back to back. Don't miss it.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
God's people hear his voice. He says, my sheep know my voice, and they follow none other. Job 33 says, does not God speak to a man, speak to him in his deep sleep and warn him about the direction that he's going in to prevent, you know, prevent a wrong direction? That's Job chapter 33. You think about Jesus' name and, you know, the confirmation of who he was, you know, came in a dream to Joseph. You think about when they were going to kill Jesus and try to find him, and in a dream the Lord told him, get up and go to Egypt. And over and over again, you look at Joseph and the famines that were coming. It was given in a dream. Over and over again, God speaks to us in dream. Every dream is not of God, but you know, some of them are. And you can always verify them in the Word of God. What's God saying to you?
Right.
And Jonathan, he's 10 years old, and he hears from the Lord. I mean, he abides. He abides. If you look at iabide.org and look at that simple pattern or plan there, you can find, you know, get it. You can get it yourself if you want to. Just request it for free at iabide.org. That it's just amazing. I've watched his life and listened to him talk, and he pulls out his journal and begins to share what God has said to him. And you just lean forward. You know, he has a real soft voice when he's talking, but it's just amazing the encounters that he and God's having, and his sister Jordan as well. You know, it's just powerful. She had this vision, and just God's speaking. He's supposed to speak to you. I don't know if you, I was talking, Steve, listen to this. Pat and I were in a meeting, and we were talking to somebody who's a believer, and we were asking the question, you know, do you want to know what God's saying? Do you want to know what he said? And they said, no. I mean, they didn't go, no. They just kind of like wrote it off. And it's like, that's all we go by. We don't have anything in common. If you're following the voice of God, I don't care how religious you are, we're probably not going to jive too much because
right. we're not going to agree on many things.
You're not, and it's not because, you know, you don't love them. It's the fact is that if you're following him, Jesus, you know, that what we're known by is we're following Jesus. We're not right. following religion. We're not following, we're not building our own kingdoms, for example. We just want to know what he said.
Mm-hmm.
We just want to know what he's saying. You know, those that hear the Spirit, what the Spirit says to the church is going to make it.
Right.
You know, we want to hear, and we, besides, we want to, you know, his sheep know his voice. And so here's Jonathan talking about it, and it's so cool because I was able to have David on last week, which is my grandson who is 10,
right.
and he had the very same dream. As a matter of fact, listen
up. Wow.
And I just wanted to share with you 5 dreams that God spoke to me. One dream that I actually had 3 times, and there's other 2 dreams. In the first dream, I was on a school bus riding through a neighborhood that I've never actually seen before. And I got off at the first stop, and I didn't know exactly where I was. I thought I was lost, so I just kept walking. And I eventually ended up at Brother Greg's house. So I knocked on his door, and he came out, and I told him that I was lost, and I wanted to know where my house was. And he told me, just go through the narrow path through those woods over there. And
over where?
Over by the woods.
Awesome.
And then the dream ended.
Wow. That's you so had cool. that dream 3 times.
That's
huh?
encouraging.
Yep.
Wow.
10 years old.
Well, he's definitely speaking to me about the wide and narrow path.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So what were the other 2 dreams?
Well, in the second dream, I was in a neighborhood, and I turned around. I was like in the middle of the road, and I turned around, and I saw this big, gigantic gold stairway that went all the way up to this level of clouds, and it was about 15 feet wide, and I was like the only one on it. So, and it was like pure gold, and you can almost see through it. And so I walked up the stairs, and when I got to the top, it like ended at the level of clouds. And once I stepped off, you could actually walk on top of the clouds. And I saw this big crowd of people, at least 500 people. And there were these 3 brick walls that went all the way up to this another level of clouds, which must have been the 3rd heaven. And I thought that I must have been in 2nd heaven. And I saw everybody was trying to go through the wide path in between the 3 brick walls. And barely anybody went through the narrow path. But so I took off running down the narrow path. And then the dream ended.
Wow. So you saw the difference, the wide one and the narrow one. And you went to the narrow one, right?
Yep.
Mm, that's good.
Wow.
What's the next one?
Well, in the next one, I awesome. Was in a car.
Yeah.
It was a black Camaro.
Black Camaro.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I really just knew how to drive in the dream. And I was like still 10 years old, but
right.
I was still driving a car.
Cool.
And I was driving down the road, and I came to a stop at where these 2 paths went opposite direction. One was like really narrow, and one was really wide. And I was like the only one there, so I turned down the narrow path road, and I came to a stop, and I saw another narrow and wide path going opposite directions, and I kept going down the narrow path on each one, and then the dream ended.
Wow. 5 times you said this to you, huh?
Yep.
So what do you think God's saying?
Well, definitely about the wide and narrow path, and that I should always go on the narrow path, because it leads to life.
Right, right. So is there a scripture that says something like that?
Yep.
What does it say? You have it?
Mm-hmm. It's right here. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 through 14, it's, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it.
Wow. So God's saying stay on the narrow path, right?
Yep.
that leads to life. Wow, that speaks to all of us, buddy. Man, thanks for sharing that.
Isn't that cool? That is so cool, isn't it?
Powerful.
So I'm sharing this with my grandson, David. I'm talking to him about how, you know, he's staying with us for that week. And so cool spending time with your grandson. He grows a garden. His dad, Chuck, my son-in-law, good man, and a good son-in-law, teaches his boys how to farm.
Mm-hmm.
So if I get hungry, and David is tending the garden and all, and he's growing cantaloupe and watermelon and and all that. David, I just want to give you a shout out. We got a chance to eat your watermelon or part of your watermelon. It was so good and so sweet, man. You are excellent, an excellent farmer there. But you know, as I was sharing it with David, David says that the Lord gave him a dream just like Jonathan, and so him and Jonathan were talking back and forth on the telephone. They called each other.
Mm-hmm.
2 10-year-old boys. Are talking about the voice of God.
Wow.
And we're just getting out of the way. It's just God in them and the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm riding in my truck and I said, man, tell me about it. This is him right here. I'm going to see if I can play it for you.
Through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road.
We do that one more time. Here you go.
So tell me about your dream. You had a dream. What was the dream?
It was, I was driving this Corvette.
A Corvette?
Yeah. I saw this wide path, and I didn't want to take the wide path, so I took the narrow path.
What's the word to say about the narrow path down there?
Narrow path. But small is the gate. It's the gate in narrow, the road that leads to life, and only a few find it.
So you were taking the right path, aren't you? Isn't that cool?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. That is so neat. Jonathan, too, God was talking to him, too, right? You just got off the phone with him?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that cool?
Yes.
God's talking to you guys.
Yes.
So cool.
Bye.
Is that not cool? I mean, here is God talking to 2 10-year-old boys.
Right.
You know, you can talk your face off. But until you introduce people to Jesus, where they can hear his voice, the voice of the Lord, he says, the day's coming and will come when you will hear the voice of the Son of God and you will live. Listen, if somebody's told you that you don't have to personally know Jesus to be saved, there's some sort of collective salvation, you can hang out with people who hear God, you got to hear God.
You stand alone.
You stand alone. You got to know his voice, and he loves you. And quite often, you know, it's available right now on VFNTV.com to our free subscribers. Just go subscribe for free, talking about the voice of the Lord, you know. And we have to understand, we have to be trained up in how to read, you know, English, for example, or Spanish, depending on your language. And we have to be trained up on how to communicate and how to have manners. And it's just normal. We need to be trained up on how to hear the voice of the Lord. And you have 2 10-year-old boys that are listening to God's voice. Think about it. Listening to God's voice. And with that, you know, we're just watching them talk.
Mm-hmm.
And God spoke to both of them and is speaking to us, by the way. When God gives a word like that, you first apply it to yourself. Then it could be have double meaning. It could be single meaning to you. It could be double meaning to you and someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing, it could be, you know, for another people. But the truth is, Jesus said this to all of us.
Right.
And right now, what you see is you see a wide religious road, a wide religious road that's headed to destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And there's many people on it. And if you want a crowd, if you want the crowd, if you're into the wide gatherings and the wide things that just kind of like cattle, you know, kind of makes you feel good, but you don't even know God's voice, realize that's a wide road of destruction. You need to know him and be okay with narrow ways. Be okay with just walking with a few like Jesus did with his disciple who knows his voice.
Mm-hmm.
And then teaching other people to do the same thing. Because we have to know him. That's how we make it. We all hear his voice and we get together. And that's what amen means. Amen means that I heard his voice. You heard his voice. And when we talk about what he said, we both are going like, amen.
Right.
It's not the ending of a song or the ending of a prayer. It is a confirmation of what's taken place, you know, in our hearts, that we agree that that's God and that is good. So if you missed that, make sure you hear that again. That's two 10-year-old boys hearing the voice of God, talking to each other about what the Lord said to them.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Hey, we're just talking about what God is saying and some of the things that sharing some words about a spiritual avalanche, this huge mindset. And it's just so refreshing because, you know, when you're hearing from the Lord and the things that we've heard and I've heard, is after a while, you're just thinking like, I'd like to hear about something good. You know, I mean, right. is there something we prayed for a long time? You know, we pray for a long time. And part of one of the prayers that we were praying, scripturally is like, Lord, let us know your heart, your feelings, what you're thinking. And it came to a point, it's like, I don't think I want to know this anymore because it just felt so heavy and so broken. Yeah. And so I don't think I have the grace. I don't have the ability in my humanness to be able to even tap in barely to your emotions, but I can't. And then we added to the prayer that you would give us grace to be able to handle this. And he did.
Yeah.
And because we don't want to, you lose your relationship with somebody when you're not willing to feel their feelings, what they're thinking and feeling and empathize with them. And so don't lose your relationship and turn it over to religion. But in the context of that, God's heart's broken over all this. And then he began to tell us that, but if you're broken over this, it's nothing wrong with you. It's a good thing. As a matter of fact, he talks about it in Ezekiel, and he literally put a sign in the sky for us after a time of 7 days of prayer and fasting. Mm-hmm. That he says, go down there, those that are broken over the situation, he's telling Ezekiel this, and put a mark on them. Put a mark on them so when this storm comes, that it won't affect them. Did he not do that? I mean, yes, he did. Sure, that. Yeah. It's like, oh my goodness, thank you, Lord. And literally
it's
put
in
a
sky.
It was in the sign in the heavens about it. And so if you're God's, and not if you say you're God's, understand that. Not if somebody tells you that you're God's, God's apostrophe S, you're possessive, that you are God's son or daughter, is that you know you're God's. You know what I'm saying? You're not like, I guess my pastor told me I'm saved. I don't know. This is prophet that told me I have a call on my life. And like, no, dude, you know Jesus. You know what I'm saying? You made him the Lord of your life. You hang out with him not because you have to, because you desperately want to. You want to be able to spend time with him and know what he's thinking and all. And so you want to make that decision. If you haven't yet, we have a way to be able to help you do that at meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We do want to share this word with you. What we spoke about, because God's been telling us about things that are occurring. And listen, if you've been listening to VFN Radio, we have been sharing it consistently.
Oh, yeah.
You want to do a search. If you're new to VFN Radio, let me tell you, everything is cool. God has been speaking, and thank God for his voice. But you can research, and you can go to the Torch, VFN Torch, by going to VFNTV.com and typing the word prophecy. And God's been speaking and telling us about many things that are to come. But, we shared not too long on VFN Radio a segment and a highlight called In the Day of This Disaster, Calamity and Uncertainty. This was a previous broadcast, October the 2nd, which was before the storm. And it's just a word that God gave me, because just knowing of what was coming.
That's right.
And again, it's called In the Day of Disaster, Calamity and Uncertainty. And we want to play this, and we want to come back and talk about this a little bit more. Let me get some encouragement perspective on what's happening. Listen up.
It reminds me how important everyone is in the kingdom of God. You think about it.
Oh, yeah.
Every joint supplies. There's no little I's or little me's or little. Everyone's important. Ephesians 4:16 says that from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
That's
and it's
right.
Like, man, there's no insignificant parts. It's just a lie of the enemy that'll tell you that you're insignificant in God's kingdom.
That's right.
It's just a lie of the enemy, because we all need each other. That's the whole thing. It's all of us coming together, praying together, mm-hmm. functioning as the family of God together, advancing the kingdom of God together.
Right.
And we all are not called to do everything. I mean, God's, you know, Jesus gave the gifts to the church. They, you know, the apostles, the prophets, the pastors, the mm-hmm. teachers, the evangelists, the five, you know, five hand of God, five, you know, five finger hand of God, as they call it sometimes, which is the offices in the church. But they're to prepare God's people mm-hmm. for works of service. They're not supposed to do all the works of service. They're preparing, and that's what the church is. It's a family. It's mm-hmm. we're working together.
Right.
No little eyes. No big eyes. No little eyes. It's all one family under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
But it's so important, because it's just what the enemy tries to do. The enemy tries to minimize, you know, who you are, what God's doing in your life, and it'll tell you that you don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
When my goodness, Jesus Christ died for you.
Right.
You matter a whole lot. You're very important to Jesus.
That's right.
And you're very important to the kingdom of God. You know, we all can do something. And I encourage you, you know, you get involved. Get involved. Share your testimony. And oftentimes people say, I want to do something for God. I want to do something for God. And they're maybe thinking, I can never do. Let me tell you, the greatest thing that you could ever do, one of the greatest things you could ever do, is share with others what Jesus has done for you. In fact, I had a chance to talk to Darlene. Darlene, I'm giving you a shout out there. Talked to Darlene this weekend, and she was telling me her amazing testimony on how God set her free, man. God set her free over 8 years. She had just battled drugs and mm-hmm. stuff like that, and she's just having a hard time. And she, I mean, just to see it in her eyes, man, it was so awesome. She says, you know, God set me free. And I'm not ashamed. Let me tell you, God set me free. And it's beautiful.
That's awesome.
It's beautiful when God can just set you free of anything that you're battling, any sin, anything that's designed to you know, by the enemy to wear you down and pull you down. You're not what you're being attacked with. That's such an important revelation.
Mm-hmm.
Because the enemy will try to take you out and saying, you're this, you're that. It's like, no, you know, I'm a child of God. You know, and if you've asked the Lord to forgive you and you've repented of your sins, you're forgiven. You know, if you prayed with all your heart and you meant it and mm-hmm. you weren't giving God lip service, don't believe the lies of the enemy.
Right.
Which, let me tell you, the enemy is sowing a bunch of lies these days. I mean, he is sowing a bunch of lies. And the things that were coming on the face of the earth, the things that we're facing and going to be facing, we need to know God, man.
Right.
We need to have a serious relationship with him. And I was thinking about this, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think about in the day of disaster,
mm-hmm.
you know, we need encouragement. And I want to share some encouragement. We need encouragement because in the day of disaster and trouble and uncertainty,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
We need to know in these shaky and uncertain times the one who is certain.
Right.
The one who changes not.
Right. Right.
And so it's so important for us to continue to trust the Lord. It's important for us to know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things is that we may be surprised when things happen. We may be surprised when disaster may suddenly come upon us. But you know, God's not surprised.
No, he's not.
And God sees yesterday, today, and tomorrow,
right.
All at the same time. And so, you know, if you're listening today and maybe you're facing a disaster, you're facing a challenging time. You know, a disaster is a calamity, an event, especially one occurring suddenly and causing great loss or damages or hardship. You're facing a disaster today. I want to encourage you. We want to encourage you today. We want to add faith, encourage, and add faith to you today. Because God is faithful. I mean, we have millions of people today that are out of employment.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. If you're out of employment, if you've been discouraged and you're facing a disaster today, let me tell you, God is able. And we have folks that are sick in your body. You know, I'll never forget when my dad was diagnosed with cancer. And, you know, we got this report. I mean, he was in stage 4 cancer and didn't even know he had, I mean, just didn't even know it. And the doctor told him, it's, you know, when you get these type of reports, and you know, my experience has been sometimes that, you know, doctors don't necessarily are so forthright in coming. I don't know why that happens, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I always say, just give it to me straight, doc. Give it to me straight, right. You know? But this doctor gave it to us straight, and he told my dad, he said, listen, I don't know how to tell this to you, sir, but you have 1 month to a year to live.
Wow.
And you're just like, wow, you know, wow. Take that, you know? Mm-hmm. And I remember him and I having this discussion that night when we got back. We're just talking and having some dinner. He says, I don't get it. I just don't get it. He says, I feel fine. How could I be sick?
Right.
How could I be sick? And he went through, you know, a series of treatments and stuff like that. And I tell you, but the Lord healed him. He went to a time of healing, which was really tremendous.
Oh, wow.
11 years of healing, which was great. They told him that he was going to die. Now, listen to this. 1 month to a year. Okay.
Wow.
In fact, what happened was he had bone cancer, stage 4. He fractured his hip and didn't even know how he fractured his hip. Can you imagine?
Wow.
He goes into this pain, and the doctor says, listen, you know, we can put a new hip, you know, for you, but it could take you 6 months to recover. And our concern is that you're going to have radiation on that leg, and you just don't know how this thing is going to respond. Mm-hmm. And the doctor looked at him and says, do you really want to spend the next 6 months of your life? You know, you have a year to live. You want to spend 6 months of your life trying to recuperate? And, you know, this is a very serious question. But if my dad locked into what the doctor was saying, that you have 1 month to a year to live,
right.
If he would have locked into that, if he would have locked into that report, I'm talking about facing the day of disaster, facing the time of trouble, facing time of calamity and hardship and shock, right? Mm-hmm. If he would have locked into that, he would have said, you're right. You're right, doc. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just hobble along and, you know, not go through this. He says, no, I want to go through the surgery. So I remember driving him down to Chan's down in Gainesville, and he's having a surgery done down there. Or actually, he got some special testing or something down there.
Mm-hmm.
Comes back, gets a report, and just, I mean, prayer, and we just gave it to God and just prayed over him. Man, 12 years, I believe.
Wow.
11, 12. He went through the chemo, went through everything. It was probably one of the best. It's probably the best decade that he's ever lived. I mean, he's had some challenges throughout his life. And I mean, going through that trial, mm-hmm. I mean, it was amazing. All the things that God restored in his life, restored our relationship. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was restoration everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, if you're going through a sickness today, if you've been dying, let me tell you, God is the healer. The great physician can touch you. He can heal you. He can not just heal you physically, but he can heal you emotionally. He can heal your mind. He can touch you from the inside out. And you got folks, Pat, that are dealing with loss of marriage. You know, oftentimes someone says that, you know, that I've heard them say, and we've talked to them, that going through a divorce, sometimes it's like going through a death. Because you're losing that type of a relationship, and you have children involved, and sometimes kids don't understand, and you know, it's calamity, or you're going, you know, you have love going through financial ruin, you know, and that's a tough thing. Or maybe it's the death of a loved one, or maybe someone you love is away and incarcerated somewhere, and just there's just so many things you could just go on and on and on and on and on and on about.
Right.
But let me tell you something, it doesn't end there. It doesn't end there. I mean, we list these things because I want to relate to you and want to connect with you, because you may be going through something today, and I want to tell you that it ain't over. It ain't over till God says it's over. Let me tell you, God is still on the throne. He knows everything that's going on. He knows the very little hairs on your head at any given moment. And let me tell you, he's not left you. He's not left you. And often, you know, people say, you know, where's God?
Mm-hmm.
He's right here. He's right there in your life. And he's so close, you can reach out to him. The Word of God says that God is an ever-present help in the time of trouble. You know, everyone wants a testimony, Pat. You know, but nobody wants to go through the test.
Nope.
Right. You got to go through the test. I always say, if you don't go through the test, all you got are the monies.
Yeah.
You gotta have a testimony. You got to have a testimony. And God can pull you through. He can pull you through, but you got to trust him. You got to trust him. You need some things to be able to make it. I'm going to tell you now, if you haven't made the Lord Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, it's time. There's nothing like a sobering moment. There's nothing like a time that kind of knocks you off of your rhythm a little bit, kind of just pushes you off of your course, and where you're just realizing, wait a second, you know, God's got my attention. And I often say, you know, don't waste this trial. Why waste the trial? Why waste going through a tragedy, a calamity, a disaster, an uncertain time in your life without fully reaching out to God? And I'm not talking about reaching out for his hand, mm-mm, right? I'm talking about reaching out for his face, mm-hmm, to seek God. Let me tell you something. We're going to be facing some challenging times, but we can get through it with God alone. And God says, listen, man should not live by just bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And you got to know him, and you can get to know him. You can get to know him.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
The Orange.
BRSM.
BRSM. Brownsville Revival School of Ministry. Where they wear polyester slacks.
Sure did.
Did you now?
I guess.
Still do.
So what's happening?
Well, my goodness. Dr. Brown, yeah. Michael Brown, he has put this article out there in Charisma Magazine. And it's the anointing, it transferred.
I know, isn't amazing? Help it. It never happened until it happened.
Until, yeah, exactly. Thank you. Thank you for that contribution. Yeah, not a problem.
Mental tar babies. Mental tar babies. Mental tar babies.
Thank you. Anyhow, he talks about these 10 quotes that really have helped to shape his life and those that he's committed to memory. And
his mustache. Right. He has a big, huge mustache.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he does.
Well, I wanted to share.
We're
them
just
with
blowing
you.
Your mind. Can we? Can, it's like
Till. Yeah.
That's amazing.
And didn't see the connection, but okay.
Okay, right. I forgot you were his student. Yeah. So I know you probably think differently in the context.
It was Hagar.
Of that.
Remember?
It was Hagar. I know. Didn't she come from the anyway?
So, anyway, go ahead.
Okay, so back to all time favorite quotes. I can't even say them.
Dr. Brown, we're I did sorry, not Mr. say that. Dr. Brown, I did not say that. You call it croaks?
Quotes.
Croaks.
Quotes.
It's not, well, you know, croakers.
Quotes.
Croak. Okay. Okay. Quoters. Quoters, not croakers.
Ready?
Got it.
All right. Okay. We're here. All right. VFN Radio. We're here. Okay.
Yeah, is it hot or is it just
it's
the croaks?
Just you. So, the number one.
What are we talking about
quote,
again?
Very serious quote, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh,
very
my goodness.
Serious quote. Very
Let's
serious,
get serious mode.
Yeah, I think
Ian,
so.
We are paying attention right now. Man, this is serious.
Thank you, Ian.
Okay. So,
you're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off.
I mean, I often think about, I mean, the greatest miracle that God can ever do is the miracle of you coming to God.
That's right.
And that's the greatest miracle. Mm-hmm. You making him the your Lord and Savior. I remember walking on a college campus when I was just crying out to God. A calamity was going on in my life, you know what I'm saying? Just crying out to God. And I remember saying, God, I need to know. I need to know, like, the grass is green, like the sky is blue, like my name is John. I need to know, you know, I've heard of you. I've heard about you. I've heard the stories. But let me tell you something. When you're going through something, that's not enough. Mm-mm. It's not enough to know of him or about him or to have someone else pray for you. You can talk to him. I said, God, I need to know. And one of the things I used to say many, many times, and I still say it today, be careful of what you ask God because he might just do it. Mm-hmm. And God knew my heart, but I didn't want to settle for religion, man. I didn't want to settle for this idea of God. I didn't want to settle for, you know, knowing of him and about him. I had came to a point in my life that I was going through so much, and I said, listen, you know, I'm like, I am at a point here. He said, God, I need to know you. And man, he made himself so real to me. He made himself so real to me. I remember, you know, and God's just reminding me now, you know, I remember when I heard God's voice for the first time, you know, I was crying out to God and I received prayer. I actually came to God and someone prayed for me. I went to go shake the minister's hand, you know, doing the cool thing. I was Mr. Cool Guy at that time, you know. So I go to shake the guy's hand and just to say, you know, thanks, preacher man, you know, whatever. Thanks for this great message or something. You know, I didn't know what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. And I go to shake his hand and all he says is, more Lord. That's all he says. Man, I fall down to the ground. And oh my goodness, my whole body just started shaking. I just couldn't believe this. And I start bawling. I mean, bawling. This is like in front of just, you know, a crowd of people.
Right.
You got to understand this. I'm like 20-something years old at the time. I'm entirely way too cool, okay, to cry at this point. I mean, it's like way too cool. I just could not control it. Mm. And what I felt was the most amazing presence of God. I mean, it's just so beautiful. I just couldn't believe it. That was my encounter.
Yeah.
But, you know, everybody's encounter is different. You don't need an encounter like that. And I've known many that just said, you know what? I'm just turning my heart to God. Don't look for encounters. Don't look for different things. But I tell you, God can do whatever he wants to do in your life, but you can make it. He wants to comfort you. You know, 2 Corinthians 1:3 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. He wants to comfort you. He wants to gather you close. He wants to love on you during this time. We need encouragement. We need comfort. Another one he says, don't be so downcast. Don't be so downcast. 2 Corinthians 1:4 says, who comforts us in all our trouble so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Let me tell you something. You're going through something because you want to receive God's comfort. You want to receive God's blessing. You want to receive his encouragement. You want to turn to God because once you've gone through this, once you've been through the other side, once you've passed through the fires and you haven't been burnt, right, once you've been thrown in the lion's den and the lion got lockjawed and he had no teeth, once you've been through this stuff, you're going to be able to go back and encourage somebody else. This is not a wasted trial. This is not a waste. Don't believe that for the enemy. You know, I like to say wear your scars as medals. You know, God can pull you through this. And he can use this testimony to encourage other people and to strengthen other people. And let me tell you, don't be silent when God does something in your life. Don't be silent when God delivers you. Don't be silent when God rescues you, because he wants you to go back. I remember when Jesus goes out and sets Legion free. Here's Legion. Mm-hmm. He's tearing up stuff, ripping up chains, cutting on himself out of his mind. I don't know. Out of his mind, and Jesus comes and sets him free. It's like, you know, before Jesus, madman. Jesus arrives on the scene. He's in his right mind, sitting down, combing his hair, you know what I'm saying, fixing his collar.
Put some clothes on.
Yeah, putting some clothes on, because he was just, you know, and he had him by the sea. And so he's like, okay, Jesus, I give you my life, and I will follow you wherever you want to go. And Jesus says, no, you go back, basically, and go tell them.
Right.
Go tell them that Jesus lives. Go tell them that the same one who set you free will set them free. We're talking about in the day of trouble, in the day of disaster, in the uncertain times when things look shaky and unshaky, who can you run to? Who's the one that remains the same? It's Jesus. He is the rock. He is the sure foundation. He's the one that you can depend on. He's the one he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I often say, man, I'm not in a position that I could turn down that type of love. I'm just sorry. I'm not in that place. You know, some people will forgive you, unfortunately, they may not forget. But Jesus will not only forgive what you've done, but he'll forget. He won't even bring it up again. Mm. The Bible says that he separates your sins as far as the east is from the west. And I'm just like, man, that sounds good to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I need that.
Right.
I need that. And he offers that to every man. He doesn't wish that any man would perish, but that they would come into an abiding relationship. Listen, you need to have an abiding relationship. Listen, it's not about getting a tape. It's not about reading a book. It's not about, you got to have an abiding, you need to know God for yourself, and you can. You can get a simple plan at iabide.org. Get yourself a journal and start reading God's word and get yourself a plan where you can begin to tune your ears to what the Lord wants to tell you because he loves you. The other thing that you're going to need to survive during these times is the word of God. Mm-hmm. The word of God that's living, that's active, that's sharper than a double-edged sword. The word of God that speaks life and encouragement to you in your situation. There's nothing like the word of God.
That's right.
Man, you ever been through something where you're like, you're abiding that morning?
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, oh, how did he know? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's like, this one verse, it's like life. It's life, because it is life. There's power in the gospel. There's power in the word of God to transform you, to build you, to encourage you, because he is the encourager. He's the great one. Mm-hmm. So you need the word of God. You need the word of God in your life. You can't skip it. And now you look at the churches, like, you know, 19% of the church is actually reading the word every day. They're abiding. That's not a good place to be at. Well, it means 80% are not spending time with God daily. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes you don't want to have to face trouble to start having abiding time. Now, don't get me wrong, abide at any time that, you know, if it's trouble or not, but you don't, mm-hmm. you want to start ahead of time. You want to start ahead of time. And to have a relationship with the Lord. You want to get in his word. I'm talking about unchanging. Yeah, you know, I've been through some stuff, man, where you didn't know if you were coming or going, your head's spinning, and it's like, I just need to land somewhere safe that's steady because everything and everyone appears to be so shaky. Let me tell you, he is the one.
Right.
He's the one that changes not, right? And then you need God's grace. Mm-hmm. You need God's grace because there's things that you're going to be going through that you're not going to be able to go through it just alone. You're not going to be able to do it within your own strength. And one of the definitions of grace, it's God's supernatural enablement. It's God's supernatural power, if you will, an impartation for you to do, Pat, what you couldn't do on your own.
Right.
It's like, you know, I can't even pick up my head today. I can't even go to work today. You know, I've been through stuff where, and I'm just being candid and honest with you, and I've been through stuff where I'm thinking, I don't even know if I can get out of bed today. I don't even want to look at a person. I don't want to have a conversation with anyone. Don't ask me. You know what I'm saying? I know it's just me. Like, Pat, that's never happened to you?
A couple times.
Chris, no, maybe. He said, mm-hmm. But I've been there.
Yeah.
And it's like, God, I need grace. I need mm-hmm. grace for the place. I need grace to function. And you know what? If you cry out to him, he'll give you such supernatural enablement. He'll give you such supernatural empowerment to break it. And it's so good. He can touch you. He can bless you. He can give you what you need. Just cry out for grace, grace. Grace is like, you know, if you've ever been to the airport and you're flying out, and they have along the hallway, there seems to be like not an escalator, but like a fan belt, if you will, like a belt, a conveyor belt.
Yeah.
And you're walking through, and you can walk in the center aisle like everyone else, mm-hmm. or you can walk on this conveyor belt for maybe 30, 40 feet.
Right, right.
But what the conveyor belt does, it just pulls you along.
Yeah.
You can actually walk on it, and when you're walking on it, it's like your feet are just, you know, bouncing up and down. You're just flowing with it. You're just moving supernaturally, kind of. You're just flowing down, and that's what it's like. It's because you're carrying a heavy load. Mm-hmm. Well, that's grace. Grace is an empowerment. You couldn't walk. You were tired. You went through all these airport terminals. You're carrying all these heavy bags. And like, I can't drive. You need grace. You need God's enablement to walk this thing out. You need grace to get from one concourse to the next. You know what I'm saying? From one hope to the next. You need grace.
Amen.
You need his word. You need him. And let me tell you something. God can pull you through. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you today, no matter what you are facing, put your hope in God. You can trust him, and he is there.
That's so true. You know, here we are facing a calamity, even in the midst of a storm. Mm-hmm. You look at the storms of life. You look at the storm, natural storms.
Right.
This is it. This is the day of disaster, the day of calamity. You can trust God. I know it looks upside down right now. I know that things don't seem right. I know that maybe you don't have power and you're just huddling next to a phone. But whether you're going through a natural storm or a storm in your life, let me tell you something. The only one that can pull you through. Men have philosophies. They have ideas. They try to stick out their chest and pep themselves up and try to psych themselves to overcome challenges. Let me tell you something. The way you overcome is by first giving your life to God and keeping your head low, being totally humble, dependent upon God, and staying in his word. If you abide with God, if you rest with him, he will pull you all the way through.
That's right.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them today at VFNTV.com. We have all their contact information for you, phone numbers, web addresses, even maps. If you're in New Jersey, visit Yolanda Cocina Cubana, Cuban Kitchen, for the food is delicioso. Get some today. Brunson Aaron Heating in Mobile, commercial and residential. They'll come and check it out for you. Also in Pensacola on the Gulf Coast, Taqueria Olguis, authentic Mexican food. They're coming all over the Gulf Coast for this, Pat. Delicious. Visit VFNTV.com and become a sponsor or a partner. Listen, do it today. It's your partnership, your giving financially that is helping us take the gospel all around the world. Let's partner and do it together. VFNTV.com. Become a partner today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.